Let's pray together. Lord, there is something about your name. You are our Savior, our King, our Healer, our Comforter, our peace, our joy. Lord, you're all things to us. We've gathered here today to worship you, to lift you high in our hearts and in this service. And as we do so, may we all be drawn closer to you as having been in your presence today. Lord, we pray that you'll pour out your Spirit in our midst, fill us individually, fill this church, fill this service. Bring us the experience of Christ. Bring us the experience of his peace, his healing, his comfort. Lord, thank you for the privilege to be able to worship you today. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Thank the Lord for the choir. A couple of words about April 4th. On the sunrise service, the weather permitting, and that's a big if, and even if it's a nice day, the ground may be so soft does not permit it, but we're going to shoot to have a brief sunrise service out at the crosses, sing a couple songs and read about the resurrection morning from the scriptures and have some prayer and look to have the sunrise service out there if it's not, the weather's not too bad. And next Sunday night, we're going to put together the packets, the bags that we're going to use to distribute about that Sunday, so next Sunday evening during the worship time, that'll be a part of what we do there. So it's just a couple of announcements about the upcoming celebration of our Lord's resurrection. Today's message is really a company one with one of the points that we made last week about testing. And it's a very important word that we'll look at today, and a very serious one. The type of testing that we're addressing is not the light testing. Every day we have tests, whether we're going to keep our faith, keep our eyes on the Lord, and whether we're going to pass those tests or not. What we're really dealing with now is those serious times of testing, the Job-like times of testing, the times of testing where really it becomes a matter of survival. Just, am I going to make it through it or not? Will I survive this test? How many of you know what I'm talking about, that type of test? Okay. Just, I think, to set the tone of the seriousness of what we're talking about, I'm going to read to you four notes of people who entered in such testing and did not pass it. And each one of these people ended up taking their life. A married female, age 59, wrote, "Dear David, after 6 weeks of strepsomycin shots and a total of 11 weeks of rest in bed, we have conclusive proof that the ulcers in my bronchial tubes have not healed. I did some figuring. I can't bleed my family for any such money. It's a vicious circle from which there seems to be no escape. I feel justified in terminating a life which no longer holds any hope of having the essentials which make it worth living. I am defeated and exhausted physically and emotionally." A married male, age 45. "Kathy, don't come in. Call your mother. She'll know what to do. Love, Daddy. Kathy, don't go in the bedroom." Married male, age 74. "This is no way to live. Either is it any way to die. Her grub I cannot eat. At night I cannot sleep. I married the wrong nag, nag, nag. And I lost my life." And he signs it with his initials, WC. Then a little note he put at the end. To the undertaker, we've got plenty of money to give me a decent burial. Don't let my wife kid you by saying she has not got any money. Last one. Single female, age 16. Age 16. Dear mother and dad, please forgive me. I tried to be good to you both. It is just that I'm afraid of you both at times. But I love you both very much. So long, your loving daughter that will always love you, Mary. There's one thing, the one thing that we can't afford to lose. One thing we cannot afford to lose in the midst of the testing. It's one thing that we cannot afford to lose. There are some things we can lose, but if we hold with this one thing, we have a good chance to coming through the testing. All right, we have a good chance. Remember, we looked at last week, the way we pass the test from God's point of view is we keep our faith. We keep trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. We keep holding into Him. And as long as we do that, we are passing the test. It also, this one thing that we're going to look at today is part of helping to understand that paradox we looked at last week when talking about testing, that the Lord provides a stepping out in order to remain under. He provides a stepping out of the testing so that we may remain under it and go through the test and pass. We can lose many things, but if we have this one, we have a good chance of keeping our faith and passing the test. We can also have many things, but if we lose this one thing, we are very much prone and in danger of depression and despair and even perhaps of writing a note like this or feel like it ourselves. We can lose all of our material stuff. We can lose our money. We can lose wealth if we have it. We can lose all of that. And yet if we have this one thing, we can get through it most likely. Conversely, if we have a lot of wealth, how many of you have no money problems? How many of you that money is not a concern? You live your life, you've got enough money that you can get whatever you want, as much as you want. You can't live long enough and spend fast enough to exhaust your personal wealth. How many are like that? Please take down names. There'll be a short meeting with you after church. You know, there are some people like that. I hear about them. I read about them. I don't know any about here. There's people like that. But you could be like that and not have this one thing, and you could end up not surviving it. You can lose your health. You know, it's expressed in many ways, but the saying, you know, it's not how old you are as far as living, enjoying life. It's not how old you are. It's how healthy you are. You can be young and not have your health, and life is tough. You can be older. Saw Mom for just a few hours, and she's up in a few years, and we can't keep up with her. You can lose your health, and how dear that is. And we don't know how dear that is until we lose it, right? I mean, we can have what we can perceive of what a lot of tests may be and how tough tests are, but when our health is gone, it's amazing how simple life becomes. That I just want to feel better. I want to feel healthy. We can lose our health for a time, even like Job, and Job is a model for testing. This is one of the reasons why scriptures give it to us. Lose our health. Yet if we hold on to this one thing, we have a good chance of surviving and passing the test of even our health suffering. And we've got some dear ones in our families, in the church family, who are facing tests such as this. Again, on the other side, we can be in pretty good health. Oh, we can wake up with some aches and pains. And how many of you had an ache or something you've already felt today? I got a shoulder right here that Billy, if you could rub that after church, I'd appreciate it just right about there. So, but you'd be in pretty good health, and yet if you lose this one thing, We can go on down the list. You can lose your peace through some tragic event, through some trauma, where you just don't feel safe. You don't feel a sense of peace. You don't even feel the presence of God. You don't even feel His peace. Maybe He removes that sensing of it just to see whether you'll pass the test and continue to have faith in Him. And yet, if you hold on to this one thing, you can get through it. A dream. You can have a dream that's been shattered, devastated. Your hopes and plans and dreams, and it can all be taken away from you. But as long as you have this one thing, you have a good chance of surviving. You can lose faith. This is one of the tough ones. You can lose faith and yet survive if you have one of these things. I want to just make a point of all this. I need a male volunteer for just a second. Just take a pause on this. A male volunteer. Thank you, Billy. I appreciate it. I know what I had done. There's a reason why I don't. Billy, we need to go over these things ahead of time. I told him there's a reason why we don't. He wouldn't be standing here. Just on this one testing, I just mentioned it in passing. It's the difference between person and persona. Okay. Billy, and I hate to do this to you, but Billy's going to act like my persona. I'm a person. I'm the real me. But I project a persona that I want you to see. I want to be back here where you will never see me. You'll never know the real. You don't want to know the real me. It's better that I'm back here. So I project a handsome man, distinguished, respected. So I put him out there. That's my persona. Each one of us have a person and a persona. And we project persona. And we want you to feel good and think good about this persona. A trial can be when the persona gets damaged. We're not going to ever let you get behind the curtain and see the wizard behind the curtain. The person. It's the persona. The persona. I see you looking at the persona, and you don't look at what I'm putting out there the same. And that can be a tremendous test. And then on the other side, the persona can be intact. I can see you looking at the persona and thinking, man, that's a fine looking young man. Keep going. Intelligent, a man of the word, man of the word, and a man of his word, man of conviction. And I can see you looking at that, and that's intact. But I can be back here knowing I know me. And if I don't have this one thing, I cannot survive that, even with my persona intact. Thanks. We can lose our job and our status in life, and that can be a test that we may not feel like we can survive. Yet if we have this one thing, we have a good chance of getting through. Conversely, we can have the most powerful job in the world and the highest status in the world. If we don't have this one thing, we're in jeopardy. Last thing we'll mention just as an example. We can lose the one that we love the most. Who do you love the most on this earth? Who do you love the most? You can lose that person, and yet if you hold on to this one thing, you've got a good chance, or you have a chance of passing that test. Other hand, you can be surrounded by people who adore you. You can be known by people all over the world, screaming and adoring fans, and yet if you don't have this thing, you can end up taking your life. What's the one thing? One thing is hope. It's hope. Hope as may be described as believing there is a future and that the future is bright for me, for you. Believing there is a future and that future is bright. In the midst of the testing, no matter how severe it is, it's believing there's a future out there. And out there, it's going to be bright. It's going to be bright. Lack of hope is believing there is no future. Lack of hope is believing there is no future, or that the future is dark. Even if there is a future for me, all there is darkness. It's never going to get better. The test is never going to get over. The test is too severe. All is dark. Now, how many of you ever had a sensation of, well, first of all, how many of you ever passed out? Just fainted? And did you have, as part of that, you know, sometimes you just pass out and you just wake up and you just pass out. But sometimes you can kind of feel it coming on. It's like everything starts, the darkness comes in until it just goes blank. That's the way what we're talking about. In the testing, in the midst of it, it just gets darker and darker and darker until no hope is, it's all dark, there's no sense of a future. And if there is a future, if there is life on out there, all it is dark. It will never get light. Come to that state, we're going to fail the test. We're going to fail the test of faith to the point we may not well survive. That feeling, that lack of hope, is the number one cause for suicide when it comes to that point. Just giving up. What the Lord would have us hear today, that if you're not right in the middle of the testing right now, then we know we probably will be at some point. The thing that you cannot afford to ever let go, and remember, belief is there's in the word, using the word belief, there is suggestive of choice there, isn't there? Believe. We choose to believe or we choose not to believe. In the midst of the testing, and again, I think the reason why I felt led to read the notes is to make sure that we understand we're not talking flippantly. We're not talking lightly. We're talking about life and death. But what we can't, if we're going to get through that test, what we cannot let go, what we cannot choose to stop believing, is in hope that no matter how bad it is here, there is a future, and in that future, it's bright. But here's leading to the crux of it all, what we're talking about with hope. We've got to be careful, and we've got to be definite about what our hope is built upon. There is true hope. True hope has to be built on Jesus Christ. To really have true hope, in other words, a hope that there really is a future and that the future is bright, the only true hope is upon Jesus Christ. As long as you keep your faith in Him, because you have hope in Him, there is a future, and it will be bright. That's true. Now, some testing, it comes and goes, but some of you are called upon to undergo testing that is not momentarily and maybe a lifetime. Some of the most important people in the Scriptures were ones that were called to such testing. And they were the very ones that God used in the deepest and the most important way. Through that testing, they held their faith, and their faith grew strong, the roots grew deep. And God was able then to work through them in a way that they couldn't work through someone who had shallower faith and deep and shallower character. But in that testing, to hold on to the faith that even in this life, but know for sure in the next life, it will all be bright. There is a future. That's true faith. To believe in Him as Lord and Savior and just keep our eyes on faith upon Him. Keep our faith on Him and hold on to hope. There is a false hope, and that is to build our hope on anything else. We can think we can have a future and a bright future, some of the things we just went over, because we have a lot of money in the bank. We have a nice home. We drive a nice car. We may not be with one of those persons that doesn't ever have to worry about money, but we're pretty comfortable. We feel pretty assured of our future. We've provided pretty well. We took a few minutes, went over our retirement plan this weekend. And I made sure that my wife knew what our retirement plan was. I told her it was debt. I just work until I die because that's all we got. That's it. But we can be fine. We can be wealthy and feel like, hey, we got a pretty good future. It's going to be bright for that. The wealth can be gone just like that, can't it? Hey, I think we're pretty. I think we're all pretty much knowledgeable. Know that even in this country, we're playing with monopoly money. Someone calls that in. You know, it's like playing Monopoly. Say, hey, this is worth something. And somebody says, everybody playing the game, you can buy Boardwalk and Park Place if you have enough of it. But if someone just quits playing the game, says, that's just paper. That's what it is. It can be gone just like that. And if our hope is built upon that, our hope is smashed, and we're not going to keep our faith because we don't have the hope. The hope has been built on. Put it on any, the hell. That was the deal with Job. Remember, Satan was allowed to test him by taking away a lot of things, but then Satan came back a second time and said to the Lord, said, yeah, but you let me afflict him. Let me take away his health. And he'll lose his faith. He'll lose his faith. If we have faith in the Lord and keep our hope that the future is good and bright because we feel pretty good, we can lose our health by the end of the day. Something can happen even as we're right now leaving church. Something can happen, our health will be gone. Then our hope may be gone as well. Plug anything in. If you're basing hope upon anything other than Jesus Christ, it is a false hope. One of the hard works of the Spirit, hard. A number of your parents, and you can testify this, as a parent, if you really love your child, there's some things you got to do just hard, aren't they? Discipline is just hard. You know, the Lord loves you more than anyone, more than you could ever even begin to understand how much He loves you. But He has to do a hard thing in your life, is He has to take away all your bases for false hope till you end up, it's just Him. You're like Job, sitting on that ash pile, scraping away the pus from the sores. And you say, God, you're all I got. You're all I got. And I trust in you. And even then, as you sit there in that condition and keep your faith and pass the test, you can have hope that there is a future beyond the testing, and the future is bright. I've been there. I've been there in times of my life. I've been there in times where I pray at night, Lord, not let me see morning. It was just nothing. Just dark. Just black. And I remember a particular Sunday night when I got in my car, been a wet snow was on the ground, it was on the trees, the little country roads I was driving around, had ice on them. Everything was dark and black in my life. Everything. Everything. And in that drive, there was no assurances, there was no promises, there was no thought to it, no guarantees, no whatever. But in that drive, as somewhere in the depths of my being, I just would look to the Lord. There was that light of hope. No promises. No, it's going to be all right because of this. Oh, it's going to be over tomorrow. You're not, it's a stepping out, but you're going to remain under. This test is not going away. None of, nothing glib, just a deep, deep sense of a glimmer of hope that Christ was saying, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And one day, it'll be bright. Just trust me. Just trust me. In your testing, hold on to your hope. Believe in the future. And the future is bright. But base your hope upon Him. And then you have a sure hope. You have a certain hope that the future is there for you. And it is a bright one. If you'd permit me, we're going to sing a song of commitment. But I'd like for it to change it, if you would allow us. I'd like for us to turn to hymn number 407. And I'd like for us to sing it as a statement of faith and as a statement of hope unto Him this morning. So, hymn number 407.